Hallelujah.
Indeed, it's worthy. Good seeing you and welcome to church. When you go to public places, you always find a signpost there. When you go to hotels, there's always a signpost in those places. In fact, at this campus, there's also a signpost. Most of us don't take time to read that signpost. It's a little signpost. It's called the disclaimer. Disclaimer. My sermon this morning, I'll put the same words, a disclaimer. The disclaimer is this. It's not going to be a teaching sermon. It's going to be a reminding sermon. A call to action for us believers, not just to be hearers of the word alone, but to become doers of the word. Here's a quote that I want you to start with. It's never what you know. It is what you do with what you know that makes the difference. So when 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and I remember one of the pastors here said, Miracle Life Family Church does not have a teaching problem. It got to me. Then I said, And it's true, they were right. We don't have a teaching problem. We have so much resources around us. So much for us to grow and to become more like Jesus. Then I said, what is the problem then, if it's not the teaching problem? Is it the obedience problem? Turn with me now to Revelation chapter 2, and we'll start reading from verse 2 to verse 4. The Bible reads, I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patience, endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they're apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Perhaps the problem is the love problem. Show me a man who says he loves his wife. What are you going to see? You will see the man that saves and gives. Show me a man who says he loves his church. I love my church. You see two things. He will give and he will serve. Show me your friends. Now, we're not talking about the submarine's friends. You know the submarine friends? The ones that when things are okay, they are the surface. They are able to locate you. Even if it's 10 years, they'll find you. Those we call them submarines. Then when things are tough, they go under. You'll never see them. Not those ones. I'm talking about those you consider real friends. You see two things in their lives. Serving and giving. There'll be mutual friendship. Those are friends. So my sermon this morning is about serving and giving. How do I know further? The Bible tells us in his word, it says, because he loved, what did he do? He gave. He loved and he gave. The Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to do what? To serve. Two things. To serve and to give. To serve and to give. Oftentimes, there's this wonderful group. that I happen to be in that category of that group. This group find it very difficult to serve. Very difficult to serve. This wonderful group, they are able to give their money, but not their time. Not their energy. They don't do that. This group, they'll take their children to Sunday school, but they don't want to be the ones serving there. This group, it's actually a universal problem. You see it in many churches. Statistically, if we come to our church, we see how many women are serving compared to men. And if you go to M Kids right now, how many women are serving there? And how many men are serving there? And yet we want to create and build strong men, and the ones who are teaching them are women. So I believe today is about us men taking a stand. Amen, men? Hallelujah. We're taking a stand. Can I hear a loud voice from the men? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we get into scriptures this morning, we pray that your grace, and your guidance, Lord, will guide us. We pray for understanding and we pray for insight. We pray that you help us, God, to lay hold of your truth and speak to each heart this morning, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that was just a prelude. Now let's get into the sermon. Let's go to the anchor scripture. Our scripture that we've been going through the last few weeks, 6 weeks. And this is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and we'll go all the way to 16. The Bible reads, "He gave some to be apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers." Why did he give these people these gifts, accession gifts? It says to prepare God's people for what? For service. To prepare God's people for service. Verse 12 tells us that. It says to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the church. Pause. Who is supposed to do the work of ministry? The saints. And who are the saints? We are the saints. We're supposed to do the work of ministry. Now, service in the local church is about strengthening the body. It's not about our individual fulfillment. It is about strengthening the body. Now, if you want, of course, there'll be fulfillment in there. But if you want fulfillment, here's my advice. Go play golf. You'll be fulfilled there. But service in the church, the primary reason for service in the church is about maturing and building the temple, and the body is about that. And the body is the church. The church. And that's the reason why I love our mission statement. It says, maturing believers. Only mature people are able to serve. You still love me, right? Yes, amen. So it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and from. How do you know this one is a child, sir? It says they are moved by the winds, the waves, the waves. The waves. Today you see them there, The other day, 2 days later, you see them in that place, their waves. They're wanting to hear what they want to hear. The thing, they're everywhere. The waves. It says, those are children. But it says we should no longer be like children. So, it tells us this. It says, by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to do what? To grow up, not to grow old. Many of us grow old. Few are growing up. Hallelujah. He says we are to grow up in every way in Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the body, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when some part is doing its work. Is that what it says? Mine is saying some part. It says, but when each part, my body has got so many, parts. Each one is doing its work. Each one is doing its work. My nose knows how to breathe. It doesn't compare with my mouth. It's just busy and out. Busy doing its work. All right? So, now, this was our anchor scripture. Let's get into the main things today. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll start reading from verse 5 to verse 8. Philippians chapter 2. In your life together, think the way Christ thought. He was like God in every way. He did not think that his being equal with God was something to use for his own benefit. Instead, he gave up everything, even his place with God. He accepted the role of a servant, appearing in a human form during his life as a man. He humbled himself by being fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death to the cross. So you notice in that verse that Jesus did not have this entitlement mentality. If he did, he wasn't going to humble himself to be crucified and to die at the cross. He didn't deserve to die and to bear our sins on the cross. No. Yet he chose to give up his desires. He chose to give up his comfort for you and I. In other words, he laid down his entitlements. Is it not funny that when we come to church, we also have this entitlement mentality? We expect as we drive in to find the traffic team directing traffic. When we come by the doors, we expect to find the greeters greeting us. We expect that. Even when they greet us, most of us don't even look into their eyes. Don't even respond sometimes. But we expect them to be there. We expect them, as we get into the auditorium, we expect to find ushers directing us to the seats, even if we don't even obey them. Most of times, we don't obey them. As if you didn't even see the usher. But we expect them to be there. Not so. We expect those people. If we go to the children's church, and you are late, just 8:31, somewhere there, and then they return the child, you should see how the parent is coming from that end to this side of the auditorium. We are black. We become white. They're upset, yet they're the ones who went late. An entitlement mentality. Because when it's an entitlement mentality, that's what you do. You get upset. Easily. It's an entitled mentality. So, do you know that Most times, the things that upsets you mostly is the same thing that you're supposed to be involved in. You are able to pick what cause. If you are driving out and you see traffic and you're upset and you are not comfortable, it shows you, it's a sign that you're supposed to be in traffic, sir. Because you probably you know how best we can do it. You're supposed to be in there. Do you know that there are some people who are not bothered with garbage litter? We can bring a truckload here in front. And they won't see it. They'll just say, ah, who left that there? Hmm? They'll just say that. I'm not joking. Go, there's DSTV, there's Buried Alive. How many of us have seen it? In the house is clutter. Everywhere, the person doesn't, they've lived with that garbage for a long time. They're not bothered. Some of us, as we drive, we throw litter through our windows. It should never be said about Miracle Life member. Never. You are driving and you are busy eating and throwing your maize outside the cob. No, because you have an entitled mentality that somebody else should do it. Should come and clean. And you even get upset when you're the same person. Get upset, like our country is full of litter. Have you ever yourself picked up that litter and you are driving and picked up that litter and said, you know what, we cannot do this, we can clean up. There's a story of Disney. They employed the CEO. and they're going through the Disneyland, and as they were walking through the place, the owners and the CEO, so they saw some few pieces of paper lying around, and then they just passed it. They wanted to see if the CEO would pick it. And the CEO did not pick it. Because I am not the one to do that job. Can you see that most of the time as we stand, when we leave the auditorium, as we go out, ashes pass through to leave the mess that we've left behind. Because we have an entitlement that somebody else is supposed to clean up our seats. We don't even lift the chairs. The usher is supposed to come and lift it. An entitled mentality. What about ownership? In a family or in a society where people are not, they don't have the sense of ownership, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. I'm a parent, so I see that and I try to build that and inculcate that in the kids. You see, if one of them has left a plate or any or dirty, whatever it is, they will just go and pass it. And I said, who left that? They said, it's not me. It's that one. But if there's an ownership mentality, even if you're not the one who left it there, you know what you do? He says, not in this family. We don't leave things like that. You pick it up and you go and put it in the way it's supposed to be. Because you have the ownership mentality. Maybe we don't give and save because we don't have the ownership mentality. Because it's about them. It's about those. It's about the church. In the next few weeks, by the way, we're going to have AGM. Right? There'll be just 3-5 rows in front. Because it's them. AGM is all about us, all of us. We're supposed to be full in that place. But so it's them, the church. And those who work there. Because there's no one, if there's ownership, trust me, you'd come and make sure that you hear what's going on in the church. How can we participate? How can we grow it? How can we make it better? Because there is an ownership mentality. Amen. Acts 4, verse 32. Acts 4, verse 32. Now, the full number of those who believed were of one heart, one soul, and no one said that any of these things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great, because they had ownership, they didn't have this entitled mentality. It says, verse 33, with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Because there was ownership there. They felt one, they had one purpose in mind, one heart and one soul. It says, the apostles, look at the second part of it. It says, with great grace was upon who? Some? The apostles? It was on everyone who was in that place. Great grace. The Bible says grace, but it doesn't say most of the time great grace. When we are one, we're doing stuff together, we are pushing towards the same agenda, it says great grace appeared. The president, the 35th president of the United States, John F. Kennedy, said these words, and I quote, "Ask not what the country will do for you. Ask what you can do for your nation." Permit me also to use the same words. Ask not what the church can do for you. Ask what you can do for the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Ownership. We need to be together in ownership. Now, those of us who are already engaged and you're already serving and all that kind of stuff, let me just give you a scripture for you not to relent, not to go back, and stay focused and firm throughout the time you are serving, in the season, whichever season you are in. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53, 58, tells us, become steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord at all times. Stay there. Don't be moved. There are days that you don't feel like coming to church. You don't feel like even coming to serve. There are days like that. But you know that, you know what? Because I know what it means for my team, and the people will be disoriented, and that part of mine, each part doing its part, I am going to go, even if I feel this way. Are there days, Reverend Shoup, where you don't feel like coming to church? They happen, right? Yes. But there's always a responsibility. We know that I am responsible. I got to show up. So turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, and let's read it from 10 to 11. "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's variant gifts. Whosoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever." In this passage, you see five truths and important truths. And so let's go through them quickly. It says, each Christian has received a gift. So you have a gift. Each one of us has received a gift. Each one of us has received a gift. And this gift, number two, is that this gift is God's grace apportioned to each one of us. Grace has been apportioned to each one of us. The third thing you see there, that we are all responsible to use that gift. So we've received it. But the next thing we need to do is to do what? To use it. Four, is that we should use it to the benefit of others and also for the glory of God. And five, and not least, is that we should serve through God's strength. God is the one who gives us strength. So we serve under that. Now, let's break it further. Let's break this scripture. So, number one is that You and I were created for service. You and I were created for service. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, so that we may walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. So each one of us is created for service. In fact, from the very beginning, the first man that God created was created for what? For service. Was created for service. Then he brought the woman to sit under the tree and cut her nails and paint them. Is that what the Bible says? So she just enjoy and says, the man is serving and I'm sitting. He says, no, the woman was brought there to help the man to do what? To serve. He was given a responsibility and the man was there, the woman was there helping the man. But sadly, in this time we are living in, we have reversed it. The women have taken the responsibility, the men are helpers. Well, I'm not even laughing because that upsets me. We should not be the ones helping the women. We should be the one taking the lead. In homes, trust me, I see this all the time. You see the women bringing the children, teaching them, guiding them, teaching them manners and all that. On the women doing that. The man just comes soccer, number one. That's all. Tell him to talk about football and those things. You spend the whole day. He will tell you where Ronaldo was born, how he grew up and all that. Details. Let him say the children's life. Ah, children, I'm babysitting. You're not babysitting, sir. That's your child. Single people, if you are here, young people, single people, whether, especially the ladies, let me give you good advice. On your checklist, on the guys that you're supposed to marry, one of the things you should check if he's serving in church. He's serving in church, tick. Because if he can serve in church, he will serve you in marriage. Number two, we are running out of time. Am I getting excited or what? Or you guys are making me excited? Number two is that you and I are called to service. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15. But God in his grace chose me even before I was born and called me to serve him. So you and I are called for service. Number one, you're created for service. Number two, you are called for service. Number three is that you and I are saved for service. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Saved for service. We are saved from hell, from going to hell, but we are also called, we're saved or called to a holy calling. Now, this holy calling sometimes is misunderstood. They always think it's the pastors, the prophets, the teachers. This is their code. If you are a greeter, you are called. If you are a children's worker, you are called. If you are serving in traffic, you are called to a holy calling. Number four, you and I are gifted for service. Exodus 35 verse 10 says, let every skilled and talented man among you come and make everything that the Lord has commanded. We have a lot of skills around here. a lot. Administrative, what IT, what not. Don't use it just for the corporate world. That has no internal value. It's just for you. Use it where there's eternal value. Come and says, well, how can I come? Which day can I come on a Saturday? Whichever day I can come and give this time, this skill to the church. No excuse. Find 1 hour and just say, I'm going to come and help them. I'm good with books, accounts, and all that kind of stuff. Well, can I come and help you in your accounts section and see how we can do it better? Skills. Five. It says, you and I are commanded by the Lord to serve. We are commanded by the Lord to serve. Matthew 20, verse 28. It says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be saved, but to serve and give his life. So in other words, it says, we should have the same mindset to do, to serve in our local church. Now you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not gifted. Pastor, I'm not called. You might say those things. How many of us here are created? How many of us are not created? Let me see your hand. So if you are created, you are created for service. Amen. So imagine each one of us pushing and doing our part. Just imagine all of us. We are, statistics, we're about 6,000, 7,000, whatever number we are talking about. We are all pushing and doing our part. The Bible tells us, says, two are better than one because they'll help each other succeed. When a husband, I keep on going that side. When a man and a husband, I don't know why I'm going there, but I keep on going there. But a man and a wife, if they're a team, they are one. Trust me, they will do great things. But most of the time, there's always one person doing their part. There's a quote that I also want to tell you that says, if you want to go far, go by yourself. But if you want to go very far, go with others. We can go very far if every one of us is participating, if every one of us is involved, if every one of us is bringing their gifts and their talents and serving in our local church. Moses was told by Jethro, because he was doing it alone. He says, Uzafa. I'm paraphrasing, you will die. He says, you will die. We cannot do the work of ministry by ourselves. We need you. We need each one of us to do that part. So remember I said in the beginning that it's going to be an action, a call to action. So at this moment, I'll ask the ushers. They have the ministry interest forms. Because we want to act on the word. We want to act on the word. We don't want... we don't want just to speak and then we go home. Here's another instruction. Please get your hand, lift your hand and they'll keep giving you. Here's another instruction. Please don't go with it home. Don't go with it home. Feed it here. If your heart is stirred, you are quick to obey. Transfer it down quickly. Write it down and as we go out the auditorium, the ushers will be by the doors. Then they'll receive them. Just write it down. If you don't have a pen and a pen, just ask a neighbor. If it doesn't happen outside there, don't go with it home. Feed it in. Amen. Especially those of us who say are Miracle Life members. You've been attending Miracle Life Family Church for 20 years, 10 years. You can't. You zoom in. You are a submarine. You go. Years. You just go in and out, in and out, in and out. No, it can't work. Not now. Not this day. This day we are taking action. Amen. He says, enough is, I leave that behind. And I press towards the mark. I leave that life alone. It's time for a transformation, for a change. I cannot live that same life of just coming in church, eating and getting. And even then you're constipated. Imagine you're just eating all the time. Hallelujah. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. It's time to take action today. It's time to get involved. Amen. It's a family talk, right? Yeah, let's get involved. Don't miss this moment. Don't harden your heart.